This is 2 Main Street on WNIN-FM, and today's guest is First Lady Carol McClintock. Carol's husband is the mayor of the city of Evansville, Lloyd Winicky. Welcome, Carol.
Glad to be here.
Now, this is kind of a homecoming for you because you were marketing director for WNIN-TV and this radio station for 10 years, right?
Absolutely. Over at the Carpenter Building, we were just talking about that. I worked for WNIN when the place was still haunted, and when we built the new studio out back, and actually started as a volunteer when it was where the McCutcheonville Fire Department is.
That's right.
Yeah.
The early beginnings of public television in Evansville.
Right, absolutely.
So what are some of your other memories of the early days at WNIN?
Well, I probably should say this, but I remember being out at the McCutcheon Fire Station, and those were the good old days, as we called them, not really, but in particular, there were a lot of businesses and civic groups that came, the Westside Nut Club and the banks and all that, but they would actually smoke in the studio, in the phone bank, of course, thinking how dangerous that, you know, that was.
And this is the fire station now.
Yeah, fire station now, exactly.
It used to be a school.
Uh-huh. And there was always a keg of beer outside, so you could go get a little beverage. And those were the famous Coke cups that the viewers would see, you know, on the thing. But, you know, that was just, I hate to age myself, but that was just back in the day when, you know, a lot of people smoked and you could smoke anywhere. So that finally got banned when someone figured out that smoking and those paper pom-poms were probably
not a good idea.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Well, of course, as I mentioned at the intro, you're a busy businesswoman, and yet you seem to be everywhere. There's a public event involving your husband. So how do you manage all this?
Well, I have a great team. Team McClintock, wonderful admin and support staff, in addition to a really good team of realtors. Now, I still do a lot of real estate. Last year, we were very blessed to have a great year, and I did about half of what our production was. But a lot of the things that come up that I can participate in for the city seem to be evenings. You know, you don't really show houses in the dark, can't see a lot. And a lot of weekend times that, you know, I just kind of try to balance both. Sometimes if it gets to be, if it's in the spring when we are really, really busy, you know, real estate's going to probably take priority over just going to a ribbon cutting or another fundraiser or something like that.
Well, I was wondering, is there a First Lady handbook? Did you get any advice from past First Ladies, or you just wing it?
Well, I think you just mostly kind of wing it. I'm in a little different position, and I've had a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, you're everywhere. And, you know, Lloyd and I do not have small children at home. And certainly there are other mayors that have had. And, of course, then their, you know, wives are busy raising their children, and several of them have had jobs as well, full-time jobs. So, and we have just, because I was so active before as a county commissioner and at WNIN, you know, I was out all the time, I'm very comfortable being out and being with people. And, you know, everybody's not that way.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mentioned that you're a cheerleader for the city. Does that really bother you? Are you more of a motivator, or how would you describe your role as First Lady?
Well, I think cheerleader is a very good description. That, and also you had mentioned back in the introduction, you know, about picking up trash. You know, I like to be hands-on. I have tried to, one of the things that I'm not on a lot of boards right now, I'm the chairman of the Deaconess Foundation Board. I'm not on a lot of other boards because I'm trying to help with the Clean Evansville, with our SPLASH program that helps focus neighborhood kids have access not only to swimming, but to swim team and those kind of things. And those I'm very passionate about because of my old experience in parks and recreation. So, you know, it's just kind of developed, I guess.
Now, Hot Mess, that's a big effort. I know I've been involved in that.
Right.
And you go into certain neighborhoods, you get a team of people together and some high school students.
Right.
And you go at it and you collect tons of garbage.
I wish I had gotten, I mean, the amount that's been collected by the first Saturday in every month group. We have a group the first Saturday of every month, and Hot Mess is one of those. And that got conceived because really that we know that the big litterers are males ages 17 to, I think it's 29 or 30.
Oh, there's a demographic on the litterers.
Yes, there is. So the idea is if you can get high school students, both boys and girls, involved in it, I can't even remember what the percentage is. They're 100% less likely to actually litter themselves for the rest of their lives if they have to pick up the stuff. So, but it's been huge. And the school corporation and the Catholic schools have been wonderful to work with on getting kids and large groups out there, and they compete. Mm-hmm. And it's based on the size of the school, how many kids will be out there.
And the trash company participates in it, too.
Oh, yes. Republic Waste has been wonderful. They have been involved since the very first Saturday in January after Lloyd got elected. They bring the big dumpster. They provide the trucks. And all of that is volunteer that drive around and help pick up the trash. So we really could not do that without them because there's no budget for it. There's no money. So.
Well, I know I was the team leader of AIS, the students from the Academy for Innovative Studies, and we got the award one time, and that was very exciting because you weigh the amount that you collect.
Right.
So that's how you win. You get bragging rights.
Right.
And I know there's treats at the end of it. It's really, really a nice day.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And the kids really get into it. And we appreciate, you know, we have some other sponsors for that. And so we appreciate everyone that's involved. And we're always looking for corporations and clubs and churches to come out the first Saturday of every month and help us pick up trash. And, you know, we're usually there about an hour. Usually wraps up by the time all the trash is, the great throwing of the trash into the dumpster is over. And that usually takes about an hour.
And this doesn't take any tax dollars. I mean, this is something everybody can do. I know that gets me angry too when I see people littering, and that just and it's something that doesn't have to happen, and
right,
we should be proud of our community.
Right.
All right, so we're both on board on that. All right,
we're anti-trash.
There we are. We can stand up against trash. Okay, I'm wondering, how did you meet Lloyd Winicky?
Well, actually, I originally met him because he was a reporter for the for Channel 14.
That's right, he was,
and he worked at every TV station.
That's right.
So, but at that time, I was the parks director, and he was a reporter, and so he would come in to cover parks and recreation. So that's how we initially met, and then his sister Joycelyn and I became very good friends because she was the healthcare reporter when I was at Welburn Hospital. And so that was actually the stronger connection because I was, you talk about going to community events all the time. The evening, I'm like, you know, I don't have anybody to take. So she was the one that said, you know, really, my brother loves to go to that stuff. You ought to have Lloyd. So she was really the one that kind of got us hooked up as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, so, he was your escort then.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
There
Dionne
you go.
Warwick, the Welburn Hospital Foundation, big fundraiser. It was our really first kind of date, I guess you could call it. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned you are a former county commissioner, so
right. You
know about the outs and ins of politics. So did you encourage Lloyd to run for mayor?
Not necessarily. I mean, I did. I remember coming out. We were coming out of a meeting. And we were both involved because he, of course, had been a county councilman and then a county commissioner. I had still involved actively politically. And we came out of a meeting, and it was clear that there wasn't going to be someone to follow Jonathan Winesapple. And, you know, we always say that regardless of political party, you stand on the shoulders of the people before you. Mm-hmm. And we had had a series of really good mayors in Evansville. We'd been very fortunate. I worked for Mike Vandeveer. And when you look back at downtown, you really have to start crediting him because he did the victory. And I don't know if you remember how controversial that was, because there's really the first thing. And then Russ Lloyd, the condos, then Jonathan Weinzappel, Ford Center, and then what's happened since then. So we kind of looked at each other, and I looked at him and I said, honey, I think you're going to have to run for mayor. Because I don't, and not to be against anybody else that was kind of think about the time, but just to kind of continue, you know, that strong leadership for our community. You just hate to think that you're on a roll and then there's not someone to pick up the baton.
Well, we're going to chat some more in a moment, but and coming up, the First Lady will share her passion for downtown living. I hope she does that. And later, we're going to subject Carol to our lightning round quiz.
Oh, no.
You didn't know about that, did you?
No.
This is 2 Main Street on WNIN-FM. Stay with us. 2 Main Street is presented by Evansville Regional Airport. If you're just joining us, our guest is Evansville's First Lady, Carol McClintock. Carol and her husband, the mayor, live in a fifth-floor condo right on Main Street, just a few blocks from the Civic Center. Now, they moved in shortly after Lloyd took office in 2012. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. So now you were living in an East Side subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of was a leap of faith for you about the future of downtown Evansville, because you had lived downtown before, right?
Right, absolutely. When we were first married, we lived at 506 Southeast Riverside Drive in an old house.
A historic district.
Historic district, which we loved. And we ended up selling there and moving east. Lloyd's daughter was east, and he was taking her to school. And that was just worked out to be a little bit more convenient. So that's really kind of why we sold that house, and but had not really given thought to moving to the condominium world.
Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, this downtown was starting to stir a little bit then and everything. Did you kind of sense that this is going to be a happening place?
Well, actually, how all that happened is when Lloyd was running for office, he was speaking. We had discussed a little bit about, now I was always the person that liked living downtown. And the old house stuff didn't bother me as much as it did. When you live in an older home, they are not only your, that's not only your home, but that is your hobby and where all your
free
any
time.
Dispensable free time or money goes. So, Lloyd was not as enthusiastic about, you know, that kind of, those kind of repairs and constant, you know, worry about that kind of stuff. But we hadn't really talked about, you know, the condos hadn't really been, you know, in them. And of course, I had seen some of them because I'm a realtor. So we were at an event, and Lloyd was speaking, and he was up there giving him his, you know, pitch about why he should be elected mayor. And he said, you know, if I get elected mayor, we're going to move back downtown. I thought, okay, there we are. I guess we're moving downtown. So
so it was a campaign promise.
It was a campaign promise. So luckily, we ended up, we're at 3rd Main Street, right across from, I tell people when they're coming over, just if their back's facing Angelo's, they're facing our front door. And so we love it. I mean, I cannot honestly imagine moving anywhere else since we have been there. It is just so convenient. You know, if we go home and we want to go out to eat, now we have so many great places to choose from, really almost too many to name. Now, when we first moved down there, you know, it was still pretty sparse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had, some good places, don't get me wrong.
Right. But there were a few tumbleweeds blowing down Main Street.
Exactly. And now we get kind of tickled when, you know, on Saturdays, there are actually people going into the stores and walking around. And there's just so many more, not just restaurants, but businesses and stores. It's become quite a really a design decorating district, when you look at, there are several really mm-hmm. good ones downtown. Mm-hmm. So we have seen a huge transformation in the last 6 years.
Well, it's kind of an enclave too, because a lot of people are living downtown now
right.
too. It's a growing number.
Right.
So you have new friends and new activities.
Right, exactly. And I think to a person, like in our building, there are 29 units. And we all have sort of a camaraderie and have made friends with a lot of those people that live in the building, and we'll go out to eat with them or see them someplace and join them, you know. Now, for people thinking, I don't want to be around a bunch of new people. There are people that live in our building, and I'm sure other buildings that really kind of keep to themselves, and we don't see much and we don't socialize with. But it is a very friendly place to live, and you know, if you need something from the grocery or an errand or whatever, there's always someone going.
Mm-hmm.
And which, you know, we never really had in our neighborhood, because usually people in subdivisions don't, you know, hey, I'm going to the grocery, you need some bananas, you know, kind of thing.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons that WNIN moved to this mm-hmm. new location, 2 Main Street. I mean, we're right in the middle of all the action. We're right on the riverfront, and we're very visible here, too. So it's been a great fit for public media, I think, to be right here on Main Street.
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. I mean, the businesses that come down here, including, you know, WNIN, the people that work here, I'm sure, are thrilled. Now I see them down at, you know, Emgee's or Zuki or Comfort or wherever for lunch, or across the street at Old National. And it's just a great place to live, work, and play, because it's so convenient. And, you know, of course, we're lucky because you're here during the day. You don't have to worry about, you know, trying to find a parking place, although there is plenty of parking. We can
right.
talk about that later.
Okay. Now, the E is for everyone. Now, that's the new branding. You see it on banners all around town.
I have it on right here. See?
Oh, yes, you do. So, I mean, this is here to stay, this branding. So I was curious, who came up with that slogan? Do you know?
Well, there was actually a very long study and focus group that was really instigated by the mayor and then the chamber, and I think the Growth Alliance of Greater Evansville. I mean, it was quite a community, and the Evansville business leadership all were involved in coming up with that and hiring Ten Adams and John Ruthenberg, who worked together mm-hmm. to really come up with the slogan and this whole program that you now see. And it really is kind of more visible, I think, downtown, where you see the signs and the banners, and the businesses have the signs on their individual business buildings. But it took, I'm going to say, a couple of years. I mean, it wasn't just somebody whipped it out of their back pocket mm-hmm. and dusted it off and said, okay, well, I think this will work. Because it had to be something that had the message that of inclusion, that we want everyone involved in the community.
Well, that's what I was, it's just words right there. But, I mean, you want these words to become action, too. And
right.
You want to include the whole community in this effort of making this a better place to live.
Right, exactly. And, you know, that really started, and I give a lot of credit to, if you look back to when Lloyd first became mayor, and they started the visioning process with Leadership Evansville. And I can't remember now. There were something like 36 meetings all over the community. Some of them were held at different times of day, so you could, you know, give an opportunity for everyone to participate. And a lot of really good ideas came out of those visioning sessions of involving people, our residents in our community, and making not just government, but the other resources in the community more accessible to everyone.
A lot of positives, of course, going on in the city. And, you know, we got the new med school, downtown. We got hotels, and the Tropicana just opened their new land-based casino. So, and businesses hiring more workers. So there's a lot of positive things going on. But also, there are some concerns about the quality of life in Evansville, and we can't overlook those as well.
I
know the crime is a big issue, and I know the mayor is concerned about that, and the police department's on this against about the gang activity and all that.
Right.
So I know that has to be a priority at the mayor's office.
It is a priority at the mayor's office, and honestly, I was just talking to somebody the other day about I'm currently the president of our condo association, but my term ends in March. And, you know, kind of that will give me some time. And I just finished Help the Zoo on their fundraising campaign. My real passion now, and we talked about Splash a little bit, you know, we have got to raise the level of all of our citizens. And, you know, we have a lot of families and kids that are in at-risk neighborhoods that are, you know, currently being underserved. So how can, you know, we as a community, what resources can we find that can help those kids? And it's got to start with the kids. And we have some great, Boys and Girls Club, the Dream Center,
Youth First,
Youth as Resources. And there was a great story about the McGarry Principal. And I don't know how many people saw that, about how for the snow days, he and his teachers that volunteer go into the schools to have them open from 11 to 1 so that they can, those kids can get a hot meal and that they have a play time. And I know when the snow days happened, there was a lot of chatter on Facebook about people concerned about the kids that wouldn't get their meals. And, you know, there are kids in our community, it's sad to say, that if they don't get that meal, that may be the only meal of the day. So I was happy to see that because of the awareness. So now what we need to do is focus our attention so we can capture that awareness and turn it into action. How are we going to get the next time it snows or there's some other kind of reason that schools have to be closed? How are we going to get those kids fed and, you know, entertained, you know, within a walking distance of their home?
I know I'm on the Evansville School Corporation Foundation Board, and that the foundation just took over Hangers, which is the clothing bank
for
the school corporation. And that's something that everybody can get involved in. I mean, they take, you know, donated clothing, boots, belts, toiletries, anything like that to give to these children. And they walk out with a duffel bag full of really nice stuff. Brand new clothing, a lot of it.
Right, absolutely.
And that's something that everybody can get involved in.
Exactly. And a lot of the churches are involved in the, you know, the back-to-school programs when those happen. We go to three. I'm sure there's more than that, you know, the churches are involved in. So a lot of the needs are being met. And the churches that operate in the Center City do a wonderful job. But how can we continue, how can we support them more, and where can resources go? Because that's where a lot of, you know, the poverty is, and we've got a lot of great jobs in this community. So how do we get people trained for those jobs, and how do we keep those kids from wanting to join a gang or seeing that as the optimum lifestyle instead of having a family and an education and all that.
I was wondering, how do you handle the criticism that comes with any public office, and you hear some criticism about how the city is being run? How do you handle that? Does that offend you or get you fired up or what?
Well, probably people know me will laugh. Probably more than anything, it gets me fired up. So, you know, and everyone has a right to be critical of how government works or, you know, how other things work. You know, I'm probably more sensitive to it than Lloyd might be. Lloyd's very sensitive to it. I don't want to leave that impression. But if it's specifically about him, then I'm more sensitive than he might be. But I think that you have to look at it and be aware of it. I don't think you can totally ignore it, because in there, we can always look for ways to improve our performance and what we're doing. So within some of that criticism, there probably might be some valid suggestions. And so you don't want to just dismiss it like, you know, that doesn't really matter. They're just negative Nelly. And because there's usually some truth in there, too.
You're very diplomatic, Carol. That was handled very well. But I'm sure there are certain things that just have you just blowing up.
Well, yeah, there can be. Let's talk. The most recent has been the snow removal. And they're just, you know, just know the facts. I think somewhere there was somebody saying that, you know, they don't do anything until the snow starts coming down. That's just not true. I mean, the roads are pre-treated. You know, they're out there but you can't send a snowplow on a street that doesn't have any snow on it. You can pre-treat and you can put down the beet juice and the whatever all they do. And when you have ice underneath snow, you're just going to have a problem.
It's called winter.
Yeah, it's called winter. And it doesn't really matter where you're from. That's still a fact. And the other thing is, or the thing that, you know, sort of gets my goat a little bit about that is, based upon knowing the city budget and hearing, how important our needs are, I doubt that the taxpayers would want to spend another $1 million on more snowplows that might be used every other year, every third year. I mean, folks, last year we got no snow. Mm-hmm. So, but every year, day in and day out, we need police officers, we need firemen, we need the basic city services. So to divert money from those services so that we can get our snow cleaned up a half a day or a day earlier, you know, not so good. But on the other side of that and getting people to think, I think a suggestion was made that maybe subdivisions might want to think about, you know, hiring someone to plow, doing those kinds of things. So there were, as I was saying earlier, you know, some suggestions in that criticism that might be helpful to the city in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, now to another topic. I mean, Evansville is not just a little provincial town anymore. I think
right.
We have a global outreach. I know we have several sister cities.
Right.
And we have companies that are global, very global, just to give you an example. So, tell us about these sister cities and how that's important to Evansville's image.
Well, I think it's important. You know, of course, we had the sister city from Osnabrück visit here in May, and we're going back over there in May. And when we go, for me, of course, now no tax dollars at work here.
disclosure.
We're paying for our own trip, so we should be on vacation. But last year when we went, the state of Indiana consulate, I guess, mm-hmm. is how you say it. They came over. And picked Lloyd up every day but one, so four of the days, and went out and called on German businesses that trying to encourage them to move to Southwest Indiana. And Greg Wathen went, mm-hmm. and so they did a lot of real work. The official activities and ceremonies sort of, I think, raise Evansville's view in the world. And at that sister city visit, there can be up to 12 other cities from all over the world. It's not just Osnabrück and Evansville.
Right. And also we have sister city in Japan and in
Mexico
too.
Right.
Well, coming up, we're going to ask Carol to share some of the gems of the city with us, and she'll take our lightning quiz. I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street on WNIN-FM. 2 Main Street is presented by Evansville Regional Airport. Welcome back. This is 2 Main Street, and our guest is Carol McClintock, the First Lady of Evansville, and she has agreed, probably reluctantly, to take our lightning quiz. So, Carol, are you ready?
I guess I am.
Yeah, there are no wrong answers.
No wrong answers. Okay.
Those are the best kind of quizzes.
Okay, good, 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 good.
So, what is your favorite fall festival food?
Oh, my gosh. Again, those people who know me who are listening will laugh because I am sort of a... I'm sort of a health nut, but my favorite, can I say two?
Sure.
Okay. I do love the Evansville Association for the Blind pork parfait. Now I'm a little prejudiced because I work there and get a group to work there.
Pork parfait.
Yeah. And it's barbecued pork and then mashed potatoes and cheese.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. It's like, I'm sure I don't even want to think about how many calories are in that thing. And then, Swarka's, cobbler with ice cream.
Oh, my.
Those are the two things I always get. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm hungry now. Okay.
Yeah.
So what is your bucket list vacation destination?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I like to go to Europe, so I'm a big Europe. So I guess I have not been to Ireland, so I guess I'd say Ireland.
Okay. I've been to Ireland. You have to go to Ireland.
I have to go to Ireland.
They drive on the other side of the road, so I had my wife drive. I just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
So she did a very, very good job driving across Ireland. So it can be done. And stay at the bed and breakfast. Those are wonderful
places to stay.
A little
more intimate.
You get a voucher, and you can go to any of these towns and just drop in and say, I'm here. And they'll put you up, and you just give them a voucher, and you pay for it that way.
That sounds like a great
thing. And you'd love Ireland. Okay, yeah. So maybe I'll get a free trip out of that for promoting Ireland.
There
anyway.
You go. We'll let them know.
Yes.
Call the tourism division.
There you go. Okay, and here's another one. What's your favorite childhood memory?
Oh, my gosh. That does seem so long ago.
Now, you grew up in Indianapolis?
I grew up in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Yes. So childhood, that would be, I would say probably, and most people, probably Christmas was always a, you know, magical time for our family. And of course, in Indianapolis, you get lots of snow. So the opportunities for a white Christmas are much greater. So, you know, I just have good memories of, we had a paper route when we were kids. There were six of us. So it got passed down from kid to kid. So I remember going with my brother, and we would go Christmas morning. We'd have to deliver the papers. So then when we got home, you know, they would all be waiting for us, you know, to start on the unwrapping.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, celebration.
So you already put in your work for the day.
Right, exactly. Yeah, which should surprise no one. So that was the first job, the paper route.
Okay. And this might be a little personal. Did you wear braces when you were growing up?
I did not. We were all, my mother and father were so lucky because there were six of us.
Wow.
Not one kid in braces. And we had pretty straight teeth.
That's in probably a medical journal somewhere.
I know.
That is incredible.
Lots of other mishaps, but no braces. Yeah.
Okay. I know you're a big fan of Mesker Park Zoo. So what's your favorite critter out there? Do you have one?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I think the giraffes are so fabulous because they're just so majestic and... we're so lucky to have them. And I'm a little prejudiced because I worked on that campaign to get the giraffe exhibit built and get the giraffes here. So, yeah.
Go check out the giraffes.
Go check out the giraffes.
Okay. What movie, Carol, would you watch over and over again?
Oh, my gosh. That's a joke at our house because my husband would watch the same movies over and over.
Well,
and
I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park. I watched Jurassic Park. I don't know how many times.
Okay. What is it? This Shankshaw Redemption or what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Shrimshack Redemption.
Yeah, something. I'm sure he's... I should know, but I just walked
Morgan
through the room.
Morgan Freeman's in there.
Yeah, I should have walked through the room and go, okay, it's on again. I won't appreciate all these secrets being... You know, I'm not a big repeat movie watcher, but the one, and this may sound really strange, but the one movie that I have watched more than once, and I actually have a tape of it, is Pretty Woman.
Oh. Okay.
And I always love that movie, but I do like musicals and We've been to some great movies lately. Oh my gosh, this year's crop is
well, recommend
wonderful.
One.
Well, I don't know which, I don't know what order I like these in. We just saw The Post on Sunday.
I saw it on Saturday.
Oh.
Excellent. It's a great movie for the freedom of the press.
Yeah, for the freedom of the press. And also it
empowers women.
It empowers women. What a great female movie. And then we saw The Darkest Hour, the Churchill movie. And I love history, and because I lived over there, I love European history, not more than American. I just finished a book on Hamilton, but I thought that movie was great, and he did a great job. And then we loved The Greatest Show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're trying to figure out, I'm sure someone's trying to figure out how to stage that on Broadway, like right now.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because it never was on Broadway.
Really?
And wonderful music. I mean, it's a great show.
Okay, let's move on to another one.
Okay.
Okay, who is your favorite superhero besides the mayor, of course?
Oh, besides the mayor, I would say Superman or Batman. We used to watch those when we were kids, you know. And as I said to my husband the other night, as he had the remote, we were laughing because he was watching Batman. I said, yes, I used to watch this with my brother. Males have controlled my remote control for my entire life.
You mean the original Batman with Adam West?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it was so campy.
It was horrible, yeah.
Oh, gosh,
and we loved it. Still love it today.
You know, this would be a big after-school event.
Oh, yeah.
Watch Batman
and Superman.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
Well, do you think there will be a female president in our lifetime? Or maybe a female mayor of Evansville?
I hope we both live really a long time from now on. I think it just depends on who it is. Certainly, it would probably be easier to think that we might have a female mayor before we'd have a female president, just because it's smaller and, you know, less to work on. And I don't really see anybody on the national horizon right now that I think could be popular enough to win both the electoral and the popular vote. Of course, you don't have to win both, as you know.
That's correct.
So I'm going to say yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. Yes. Okay. Now let's talk about some of the best kept secrets of the city that people should know about. Go ahead.
All right. Best kept secrets. Mm-hmm. Well, I think there are, I don't know, probably 80% of the people in Evansville have never been to or don't even know about Wesselman Nature Center.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's wonderful. It is 200 acres of old growth forest within the city limits. It is the only facility of its kind in the country. Other people have smaller nature centers. But when you think about it, to go, there are 6 miles of trails. And you can drive out, and 10 minutes from downtown, you can be parked and inside an old-growth forest on a trail and not have any idea that there's a city around you. So that is one of the best-kept secrets, I think.
I know, walking those trails, you don't even get any ambient noise. There's no street noise or anything.
No.
It is a great escape.
Yeah, and you can get lost back there.
Really?
And I used to work there, and I've been lost back there. Oh, yeah, you can get it. You know, in the fall when the leaves come down and the trails got to get covered up, you absolutely can get lost out there.
Okay, what's another place that...
Oh, my gosh, that people don't know about.
Or maybe people haven't really visited or haven't been there in a long time and things have changed.
Well, I would say, you know, the same thing for those people that have not, and I hear this a lot too. Oh, I haven't been to the zoo in 20 years. Oh, you really should go. Because even in the wintertime, we have the Amazonia, which I know people drive by and see, and they probably wonder, it looks like a big terrarium. Well, it kind of is a big terrarium, but you can walk in it, and there's porcupine and monkeys and jaguars and all kinds of great animals in there. And then, of course, we have the new carousel, the Engelbrecht Carousel, right in the center of the zoo, and it is enclosed. So like a day like today, you could go out, go to Amazonia, walk down, go to the carousel at the zoo, and we just finished, hopefully, fundraising for the aviary portion that'll start construction this spring. So
now I know Amazonia. If you haven't been there, it is incredible because it's humid in there.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's warm in there. And
yeah.
You're really like you're walking into a tropical forest.
Right, exactly.
And you hear the water running and everything. It's a very, very soothing and kind of surreal, really, when you walk in there. So Mesker Park Zoo, definitely a bet.
Oh, and let me give a little plug because the Orchid Escape is coming up in February. And you can get online and find out the hours. But they have orchids all through there, and it is absolutely gorgeous.
Okay. Well, the LST-325, I know that. I love that ship. I've done many stories on it. I was down in Alabama when it came across the Atlantic from Greece, and they didn't have no place to dock it, so they docked it in a scrapyard. Chickasaw, Alabama. It was in a scrapyard. And next to the LST, they were tearing apart barges with welding torches. And I was going, oh, my gosh. And now we have it here on our riverfront, and it's been restored. It's a great piece of history.
It really is. And, you know, that if we can get that moved, I'm going to say when we get that moved down, again, sort of like WNIN. Just moving from the Carpenter Building here gave you so much more visibility and access. And the same thing is going to happen with the LST. People are really going to be able to enjoy it and learn from it. And, you know, our history in World War II, and I know you're very familiar with it, but I just have heard a couple talks at Rotary lately, and it's really unbelievable the effect that the involvement of Evansville, Indiana, and the citizens of this community, and people that came from all over because our population grew so much, had on the war. You know, there are individual historians that say that had it not been for the people of Evansville and what was built here, the LSTs, the P-47s, the bullets, all of that, that we wouldn't have won the war.
Well, I think Winston Churchill's actually been quoted as saying that the LST was one of the most important factors in winning the war because we had that invasion vehicle to do that, land all that equipment on the shores of Normandy. So, yeah, we had a major role in winning the war
right here
in Evansville.
Exactly.
And, of course, like you said, that that new location, when it happens, will just raise its visibility 1,000%. And get more people visiting our city and seeing what we have to offer here.
Right.
And I was wondering about, buildings like the Central Library.
Mm-hmm.
You walk into that building, that is a world-class building when you see that library. And for us to have that in downtown Evansville, right across from the new hotel, right next to the Civic Center and the old National Events Plaza, there's a lot going on in Ford Center.
Exactly. And we were very fortunate to host the Regional Neighborhood Network Conference in Evansville back in October. And I will tell you that those visitors were blown away by how nice the DoubleTree was, how accessible it was. I've been very fortunate to have traveled and gone with our neighborhood leaders to three of these conferences in three different cities, and this was the nicest because it was so accessible to the attendees. Just walk right across the street, and a lot of them went to the library. And I'll tell you the other thing, the other place that they went that they loved was the African American Museum. Because we are one of the smaller communities that has an African American museum. And it is, I haven't been to a lot in other communities, but based upon the feedback from these folks, it is one of the nicest that exist. So that's another place that a lot of people probably haven't been to that they should go to.
Well, in our final minutes, what can we look forward to in the future growth of Evansville? What are some projects underway or are some visions for the future that that you know about?
Well, I know some things that if I told you, I would have to kill you
broadcast. Don't do that.
But there are, just know that there are some very exciting economic development projects that are in the works. I will say this for Lloyd. He doesn't ever stop. You know, he's not satisfied to have done what has already happened. There are more things coming that are going to benefit, you know, all of our citizens. Now, just not economic development wise, but the new nature playscape will be opening at the Nature Center this summer. And that is a 2-acre, we're very lucky to have that because it is a 2-acre. When we were kids and we could go out in our backyard and climb a tree or dig a hole or build a fort, kids today don't get that same experience. So this will give them that experience in a fenced-in area where we say, if mom and dad, if you are worried about your kids getting dirty, you sit at the gate. If you want to participate with them and help them build that fort, help them dam that creek, go on in. So we want it to be an area where kids can really play. And then, of course, I've already mentioned the zoo will be opening the new aviary, hopefully this summer. And, you know, they're already starting to work on the penguin exhibit. So, you know, that will be coming up as well as soon as that's lots of money to raise. But I'm sure they're up to the task.
I heard some talk about maybe some kind of a special attraction on the riverfront, a way of showcasing the river more. Has there been talk about that?
There is in the master plan, there were some very bold ideas there. So I think the plan is to kind of continue to look at that and see where some additional funding. But on the river, you're going to have the new, because the Water Works Department has to move one of their treatment mm-hmm. centers. And that, if you haven't seen the plans for that, and that's paid for through the Water and Sewer Department, there will be an overlook over the river.
That's what
And
I
it comes
of.
Down. Yeah, right. And there's a waterfall. And so people can go up and actually climb up on there. They can look at the river. They can see the waterfall. And then the Kids' Kingdom gets moved down. So it will be in between the tennis courts and the museum. So people will be able to park in the museum parking lot, and that should bring more people down to help the museum, to play in the Kids' Kingdom, to be there at the Sunset Park.
You know, it's interesting that the river has always been the lifeblood of this community. That's why it was formed right along the Ohio River, the transportation hub. And now we're kind of going back to that, and we're embracing this great resource that we have right on our doorstep, right here on Main Street.
Right. Well, you know, when they built that darn levee, that's another one of my pet peeves. You know, we don't need that levee anymore. But, of course, the federal government would never let us tear it down. So, you know, that was built after the Great Flood and you know, before they did the new dam up in Newburgh. So now that we have that dam, we don't need those levees. But, you know, that's never going to change because you're not going to change the federal government. Well, however we can access it to make it easier for people to enjoy.
Well, you look at these communities that really, well, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, you know, they're riverfront communities.
Right.
And people go down to the riverfront for all kinds of activities.
Right.
You know, it's where all the nightlife is and everything. And I think that's a great asset that we really have underused, I guess, over the years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm. And, you know, we need those vistas. We really do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
That so, make a big difference.
Well, anything else that you can think of that people are going to see maybe in the next maybe 6 months to a year? We
am
got
I,
anything coming up
am
that
I
quickly?
Am I forgetting something?
No, I don't know. I just, what about the Roberts Park?
Oh, I think that's going to be kind of longer term. You know, that's just a budget opportunity. And, you know, until some of this, you know, the city's going to start seeing some additional revenues. Just because people are moving back into the city. I mean, that's how you get more people paying city taxes and help boost city revenues. So I think until they're able to pay some of these more basic budget items, we're not going to see anything. But that there certainly are some great ideas for Roberts Park.
Well, it's a great expanse there, and it's very visible right along the Lloyd Expressway. Yeah. Next to Wesselman Park. So there's something great could happen there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure it will.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. And, you know, I just, as a former parks person, I just like seeing the green space.
Right.
You know, just give me that instead of a parking lot. You know, that makes me pretty happy to go by there. And, you know, that connectivity between, you know, we go all the way from Lincoln Avenue now because of those new overpasses all the way to Morgan Avenue. And that's a huge park.
Well, Carol, thank you so much. Carol McClintock has been our guest. We've talked about a lot of things. No matter what your politics, though, you have to agree Carol takes her role as First Lady seriously. And she's one of the many dedicated residents who want the best for this community. And she reminds us that the E in Evansville is for everyone, not just a privileged few. I reached out to the mayor for his comments on the city's First Lady. He was battling a cold and sent me this email message. Quoting Mayor Lloyd Winicky, "Carol is the consummate First Lady of the city of Evansville. She is a great community cheerleader, and based on her own personal and professional community involvement, she often recognizes opportunities and solutions that are extraordinarily helpful. She has a special love for neighborhoods and has a natural heart to help the city's most vulnerable." Still quoting the mayor, talking about his wife, "She does all this and a lot more with a smile and a sense of compassion that makes me very proud of her." Next week on 2 Main Street, we buckle up for a trip to the Dream Car Museum, one of Evansville's premier attractions. In fact, it's the number one visitor favorite on the website TripAdvisor. We'll talk to the curator who gives us a guided tour of the vintage cars and shares some other surprises. This is 2 Main Street, presented by Evansville Regional Airport.